It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading with the 23rd verse today, Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And I hope you can open your Bibles and enjoy the study with me today in Romans chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 23. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, parkviewbiblechurch.org. www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And please that you would visit that. I think that you would really enjoy it. It's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, that would be parkviewbible@gmail.com. or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. We'd love to hear from you. Now we'll begin the study, Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind, which is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I believe that's a fine place to end, and let's begin with prayer today. Father, we just thank and praise you for this wonderful opportunity we have to enjoy this study together. I thank you that you have opened the door that we may use the radio to further your gospel, to take it out. We just ask that by faith, Father, that folks will hear today, will listen, will respond, and come to you as their Savior. Please today that that take place. And Father, then life just begins. Life begins because then we can enjoy this wonderful time together, walking each day together, growing together, learning more and more about you. And as the Scripture says, helpeth our infirmities. We have an advocate. We have an advocate that goes before you, dear Father, and that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has died for us, and the Spirit connects us with the Son and the Son to you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. Now, all this begins at the cross of Calvary, the cross where your Son, Jesus Christ, died for our sins, and then wonderfully arose 3 days later. Thank you, Father, that we serve a living God, and the relationship we have is not of a religion, but it's with a person, and that's your Son, Jesus. Please, bring all now to your saving knowledge, saving grace, and we will enjoy the study. Thank you, Father, for this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed, step by step, as we look through these verses of Scripture, and we see that the joy that we have, the steps that we enjoy each and every day, knowing the Lord Jesus and walking with Him. And again, that 25th verse, and we have enjoyed this study. We spent much time in it last time we were together. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And we need to understand that I cannot physically see the Lord Jesus, but I know that He lives. I cannot physically see the Holy Spirit, but I know that He resides in my heart because my spirit and His spirit are together. It is a joy to walk with the Lord Jesus, knowing the Spirit of God, literally the Son of God, lives within our hearts. And of course, we know that then that brings us to the Father, God the Father. We cannot know God the Father without knowing the Son. You cannot know the Son without hearing the Word of God. Without hearing the Word of God, we must enjoy the speaking, as a preacher would speak the Word of God, or anyone speak the Word of God, and then that Word the Spirit of God can use and convict the heart. And as that heart is convicted, then that person has a decision to whether I come by faith to the Lord Jesus or I reject the Lord Jesus. But my dear friend, that's the only hope you have. That is the only hope you have, is to come by faith to Jesus. There is no religion can save you. There's no cult out there that can save you. The only one that can save you is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. And He can save you because He has paid the penalty of death. The wages of sin is death. You must come by faith to Jesus and be born again. So please, today, trust in Jesus as your precious Savior. We have this wonderful verse of Scripture here in verse 26, and that's kind of where we ended last week. And we're going to get on to into some verses that many a preacher and many a teacher stay away from. And it's a sad, sad thing because it is a mighty powerful and very simple to understand and know. And so as we get down into verse 28, 29, and 30. But first, we're going to take a look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We need strength. We are so weak. We falter. We fail. This weakness is not a physical weakness. This weakness is a spiritual weakness, and it's concerning prayer. And when we pray to a righteous, perfect God, and when we pray having the Spirit of God within our heart, yes, but still living in this old body, the flesh, when we begin to pray, many times we pray selfishly. We pray for something that would help us or maybe help someone that we know. Now you think, boy, helping someone that we know, that would be wonderful. But the most important thing, the most exciting thing, and that is that a person would come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We need to be praying for our neighbors, our friends, our family members, and our enemies. Those that hate the cross, those that hate us for any reason that it might be, we need to pray for them, lift their names up, that the Spirit of God would be able to come and convict their heart and they would be born again. I don't desire that anyone ever wake up after they've left this life in hell, in the place of torment. I don't desire that of anyone. So please, just listen today. Listen that you would come by faith to the Lord Jesus. He intercedes. The Spirit of God, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, a lot of people make a lot of silly sounds, and they do it in the name of religion. Some say they're speaking in tongues. Some say it's not an audible something that people can understand at all. This is something that the Spirit does before the Father on our behalf. It's not something that we do. It's not some utterance that we do. Our words have to be clear. If you're one that has been raised and you believe that you need to to speak in tongues. I believe that the speaking in tongues has been done away with, and done away with many, many years ago with the apostles. After the birth of the church and after the Word of God was complete, I believe that there has been no more need for the speaking in tongues. Now, that speaking in tongues is not the gibberish that you hear today trying to be filled with the Spirit. You have all the Spirit of God. Now, you need desire to be controlled by the Spirit, yes. But that control brings something much different than confusion that the speaking in tongues bring. It brings love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And so you see, when we lift up our prayers, or even when we fail to pray, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings our requests up before the Son to the Father on our behalf, and they come correctly. We praise and thank God, and we desire that our prayers, as they arrive at the throne of God, that also not only would be the prayer that the Spirit has brought, but also that our heart would change and we would begin to think as the Spirit thinks and as the Spirit desires, bringing the perfect request before the Father. Sometimes we may ask for something and it has appearance of all good, but we don't know. We don't understand the final events that may take place in our life, but God does. And the Spirit of God, being one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all in one, all in agreement, knows best. I don't know tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come tomorrow, but my God sure does. And as the Spirit brings up those requests, it can be built in the fashion that it would bring me unto the saving grace of God, the precious gift of salvation that He's given me, and lead me down a path of righteousness. Look at verse 34 here in this 8th chapter, this prayer. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So you see, as our prayers go before our Father, and I have the right and the power to pray right to God the Father because of the Son, the Lord Jesus. As we look back to the tabernacle, and you find me using this example many times, but it helps us so much to understand our life and our relationship. You come first to the brazen altar that's out in the courtyard. And then comes the brazen laver. Now, brass stands for judgment, and so, yes, there was judgment at the cross, judgment of our sin. And then we still live in the flesh, so we need that washing at the brazen laver. And we continue. That's a lifetime for as long as I breathe here upon earth. I will have need of the Word of God to cleanse me, to wash me. And once that washing is finished, then we come into the holy place, the first room. And in there, we will enjoy feeding upon the bread that's been prepared for the priests, and we become a royal priesthood once you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we have the opportunity to feed upon this showbread, this bread. And the bread, of course, stands for the bread of life. It stands for the Word of God. And so we have an opportunity not only for the washing of the Word out of the laver, now we have an opportunity of feeding upon the Word. And so you can see why some folks never seem to grow, because they come to the brazen altar, that stands for the cross. Well, they come to that laver, and they don't like that washing. They don't like that scrubbing, and sometimes what comes with that cleansing the old heart and the old flesh. It'll never be complete until we get our glorified bodies, but it's an ongoing work. Well, that comes, and because we enjoy that cleansing, then we have an opportunity to sit down and to learn to feed upon the Word of God. There's only one that can direct you and teach you the ways of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God as well. And as you look across the from the table of showbread, we have something called a lampstand. And that lampstand is pure gold. And it has oil, which stands for the Holy Spirit, and the purity, the pure gold, it does not have any acacia wood in it, as most of the other furniture does, stands for the Lord Jesus. Because of the Lord Jesus and the light only of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God, we can understand the Word of God. You try to teach someone that's not born again the Word of God, it doesn't make any sense to them. But if you teach someone that is born again, now it makes all kinds of sense. You understand it. And so when that is finished, that joy there, then through prayer we can go to the throne of God, which is in the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant is found. It's the next little room. It's 15 by 15 by 15. That's where God met with the people. That's where God resided in this Old Testament time, back with the tabernacle and then partially with the temple. And so the Holy Spirit, the God the Father, would come down. Now, the high priest could only come through that veil from the altar by the laver through the holy place, into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. That's the only day that he had the opportunity to come into that room. And he would only be there with the blood. He would apply the blood of a goat 7 times upon that mercy seat. He'd do it once before for himself, so actually twice in the same day, because he had to take care of his sins, being a man. But you see, our Lord Jesus is our high priest. So he has taken that place. And so now where that veil used to be, and if you'll remember, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, that veil was rent, was torn from top to bottom. And so now the Lord Jesus is actually that veil. And because we have trusted in Jesus, we can come right through that veil right to God the Father. What a joy. And all this is done. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, by the time it gets to God the Father, it is his will. And we need to learn what that will is by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. We need to learn that so that we don't pray amiss, but we pray according to the will of God. And the Spirit of God is bringing it, our requests, making it right and bringing it to God the Father. Wonderful. What an opportunity. It is great. This intercessions, the groanings which cannot be uttered, the depth beyond the power of words to convey. In other words, it's beyond what our heart, it's beyond what our mouth, it's beyond what we can say or do. And the Spirit of God takes that and brings that into the presence of God. God the Father searcheth the hearts of the saints, and he, God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knoweth the meaning of the Spirit's groanings and utterances, the desires of the heart, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit helps when we are burdened or broken. The groanings, as we've looked back, we've had 3 groanings here in the past. One is back in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain and together until now, the groaning of the whole creation. And then the second groaning we find down in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. You see, as we go through these times of trials and tribulations, we have one, the Spirit of God, that brings us forward into the presence of God the Father with the proper requests and the proper desires. And then, and we look at the 26th verse, because likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray, for we ought. For the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so the Spirit groans as he maketh intercessions for the saints. And so the children of God, even the most spiritual, groan. And we enjoy, as we have those three groans, and all one day, all these groanings will come to cease. And we have that back in 1 Peter. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. You see, we're going to enjoy these groanings will go away someday. Wonderful. It is just wonderful to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Please come to Him. Please trust in Him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now we get into some wonderful scripture verses. And again, so sad because so many say this is so complicated and impossible to understand. And it is not. It is a sweet, sweet verses. We know, the scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What do we know? We know that all things, not just a few, but all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, a lot of people will quote that scripture verse and say, you know, well, all things will work together for the good. But they forget to say to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. You see, they forget that part. Oh, everything will work out. Well, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not true. If you have not surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not true. So you see, there's a need here to follow. And it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Born again. That's that called. Born again. So someone that's lost that does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, this is not true. Not everything works together. Not everything's going to come together. You need to know the Lord Jesus, and you need to love the Son of God, love the Spirit, love the Father, and serve Him. Then everything, even though it seems dark and maybe doesn't seem quite right, will come out just fine. Work together for good to them that love God. They'll come together, but only if you love God and serve God. Everything, all work together for our good and for God's glory if we love Him. Now, to love Him is to be surrendered to Him, to walk with Him, called according to His purpose, not ours, His purpose. Understand that. Everything is about me today. Everything is about us. No, it's not. Everything is about you and about me serving God, bowing down to Him, praising Him each and every day. If salvation were offered to us conditionally by some work or effort, it would be different, but it's not. If so, all would be helpless because there is no way that we can have salvation. But you see, the salvation has been taken care of here. We know that all things work together to them that love God. You cannot love God unless you are born again. You must be saved. There is no works that we can do. So you see, working together has got nothing to do with your salvation. That has been answered. It's been taken care of because it would be completely helpless if you did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. History proves that man, under any conditions, in other words, trying to keep the law, we fail. Man breaks down under those conditions. The law is that system. We have been set out to keep the law, but the law condemns. We have been through that. If you have had the opportunity to listen to these studies, we have been through that over and over again. You cannot keep the law. You're going to fail. And if you fail, that means damnation. That means that you're hellbound. We need to see that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and walk with Him. Under the law, life was offered as a condition of obedience to the law. You can't keep it. But the law proved to be a burden which man alone could not bear. You can't keep it. You can't do it. Let's look back at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, just one book before, just a little earlier there. 15:10. Acts 15:10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? What a question. The burden of the law could not be kept. They wanted the law. They got the law. The law condemned them. We need salvation, and that can only be had, only be found through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at another verse of Scripture here, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The law was a ministration of condemnation. That's all it was. They looked at the glory of Moses. They looked at his glowing face after he had been with God. But you see, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, he brought the law down, but that condemns. The Spirit is the one that saves, please, because the Spirit guides us to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. The Spirit of God brings us faith that we may call upon Him and walk with Him and talk with Him. Please come by faith to Jesus. In God, grace, the gospel swept aside all conditions. You just need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Back in Matthew, and this will probably be, we still haven't gotten to those wonderful verses of Scripture, verses 29, 30, and 31, but we will get there next time. Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is a wonderful verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Please, will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You battle, you fight, you try, but you fail. And you will fail and fail if you try to do it by your works, by trying to fulfill the law. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will lift that burden, and He will give you peace. Please trust in the Lord Jesus today that you may possess that peace. The fruit, you hear me talk about this many times, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is wonderful. Please come by faith to Jesus today and be saved, be born again. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?